Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday. Good to see everybody. I want to welcome you all to the Rock Church. My name's Travis. I am one of the pastors that sits on our leadership team. And man, it's a privilege to be here, an honor to preach your word. I want to shout out all of our campuses. If you didn't know, we're one church with locations all throughout San Diego and in Oahu. So I want to shout out a couple of campuses though first, because today is Rock Church Chula Vista's 10-year anniversary. Come on, man. That's awesome. Y'all did it. Pastor Nemo, Jessica, we love you. And then it's also the 11-year anniversary for Rock Church El Cajon. Come on, clap your hands one more time. Pastor Zeb, your wife Kristen, we love you. God bless you. We still love the other campuses. It's just not your anniversary, okay? So shout out Santa Marcos, City Heights, Rock Church Oahu. I'm going to be there next week preaching. Can't wait to see you guys. And everybody here in Point Loma, clap your hands. Say hello. Happy Sunday. It's going to be a good day. It's also, if you didn't know, but now you'll know, it's Baptism Sunday. And I heard we had hundreds of people getting baptized. I wrote down in my notes this morning, 350 people. Then we got a text message. It's up to 423 people going public with their faith in Jesus through water baptism. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can still get baptized today. If something happens in the service and you just feel like, man, I want to do that too, we're going to tell you all about that at the end. We'll make sure that you can join us for that. But today we're starting off a new series entitled The Missing Piece. Everybody say The Missing Piece. The Missing Piece. It's a series dedicated to helping you, helping me, helping all of us discover and find our peace, your part in God's great plan. And I think every day, whether it's you or people you know, people are walking around the world and they're asking this question, what on earth am I here for? I feel like something's missing. And it sounds like, is there more to life than this? Maybe you said that or heard somebody say, hey, do I have a greater purpose than what I'm doing today? Will my life really make an impact? I feel like something is missing. And the truth is, I think we can all sense it. I think we can all sense that there's this God-sized hole inside each and every one of us that was meant to be filled with Him. Something's off and we're all trying to look for it, but we're looking for it in places where we realize that money can't fill it. And we're looking for something that we've realized that entertainment can't fill either. And we're looking in government and politics, that won't fill it. Even your marriage, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, they can't fill it either. C.S. Lewis, he's the great Christian philosopher. I wrote this in my notes. He said, we're all like fish out of water, gasping for the water we were meant to breathe. Amen. Just gasping for something that we were meant to breathe. And so for the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about the missing pieces in all of our lives. And while it's not money, it's not sex, it's not fame, it's not power or influence or promotion, God is saying, look up here, it's me, it's me, it's me, and my plans for your life. I have all the missing pieces for you. So once you bow your heads, let's pray. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us today through His word. Father, we love you. We're so grateful that you sent your son Jesus. Today is all about him. We're talking about your son today. And Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, would you fill me to preach your word and tap into every one of our hearts to open them up, make it soft and fill us with love and grace. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My son had a birthday recently. His name is Levi. He turned 7. And he graduated in his birthday gift that were coming. He went from Play-Doh to Lego real quick. And that's an expensive transition. It's you know, Play-Doh's here and Legos are here. And he got a few gifts in his Lego sets. And how many remember when Legos were just like real basic, 4 colors? It was blocks. It was rectangles. You want to get real crazy? Long rectangles. Remember that? Okay, here's a picture of the Lego set that he got. This is like a Megatron. I don't know what this is. We're trying to build a race car. Those don't look like Legos to me. I'm just telling you. It came with like a 90-page packet, 397 steps. I'm on page 54. I got stuck here. And if you see in the bottom left corner, there's a little like fuzzy asterisk on this long line. That's telling you my progress. I'm not even halfway. So I see that. I just got PTSD. I'm a little discouraged because this is where we've stopped. Because something was off in the Lego set, and I'm putting it together, and my son's sitting there, and he's my best hype man. Go, Dad. You know, he's hyped me up, and I feel like something's off, but I'm used to the old Lego blocks where you can just make anything work. Like, you want a house? I'm your guy. Like, you wanna build a table? I'm your guy. But you can't just make these new school Legos work. You gotta follow the right steps. And then I realized, okay, wait a minute. I missed a piece. I had to go back, and I realized once I missed a piece that I couldn't go forward, and I didn't want to go any further without getting that missing piece right. Here's why I'm telling you this story. The missing piece that I want to talk to you about today is the God-sized hole that's in your heart, I mentioned earlier, that was only meant to be filled with a personal relationship with Jesus. It's the only thing meant to fill that missing piece in your heart. We don't want you to go any further without getting Jesus. In fact, that's our highest value, that Jesus is our message. Our mission is to help you know God. And then you can grow in community and make a difference. But first, know Jesus personally. And sometimes we come to church and you're like, aren't I doing that? Well, you're at church, which is good. If you're here today, you're at church. Maybe you're watching later. You're at one of our campuses. You made it. I'm so blessed and honored you came Sunday. But Sunday is just one day. And Sunday, even though it's the best day of the week, is not a relationship. In the same way that date night is not a marriage. Come on now. Best night of the week, not a marriage. So we gotta be careful, because Jesus didn't live 33 perfect years to go die for us, live perfectly, then die for us on the cross, die the most brutal death possible, then defeat sin and the grave also, that we can experience him on one day. Or for some of you, it's one day a week. Others, it's one day a month. Glad we did it. Check it off the list. We got everybody here. We got our fit. Everyone looks great. Got my spiritual vibes, feeling better about myself. No, Jesus, look up here. He wants to meet with you all the time. He wants to meet with you and talk with you and commune with you and be with you all of the time. That's a relationship. When I was dating Vanessa, there came a certain point when we had to have what's called a DTR. Anybody? DTR? Some of you need to have a DTR tonight. It's called defining the relationship. So all the ladies like, woo, looking at him just like, we're gonna DTR tonight. Because the Lord said so. You gotta define the relationship. What does that mean? It's like, well, what is this? What is this? What is this relationship? I feel like I'm more into it than you, or what's our, I got some questions about our relational status, a DTR. Well, in John chapter 3, maybe the most famous chapter in the Bible, because that's where you find the most famous verse in the Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, John 3:16, is in this story that I want to read you today. And it's John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. It's the story of a man named Nicodemus, this very religious man, and he has a DTR with Jesus. And he goes, what's this relationship all about? I got some questions for you, Jesus. And so here's a little backstory context on who Nicodemus is. He was a Pharisee, which just means he earned his way into status. Very religious, very well educated, top tier, elite religious guy. They didn't associate with the uneducated or ordinary folks or unreligious or unclean people. His job was to study the scriptures, memorize it, commit his life to the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, obey all of them, memorize the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then teach them. He was the teacher of Israel, the teacher of teachers. He killed Sundays. He was the Sunday guy. Did it better than anybody. And then one day, this new teacher named Jesus comes on the scene and messes up the whole religious game plan. He had a different way, a different method, but he was better, and he was more kind, and he was more gentle, and he was more powerful. His miracles were better. His teaching was greater. He would go to parties, and everybody got turned up, water to wine. He was floating on the water, just moonwalking everywhere, and just hating on Jesus because he was better. And Nicodemus is like, I got some questions for you, Jesus. I'm a religious dude. Made everybody else mad. He starts to feel in his own religion like something's missing. And becomes fascinated by Jesus, and he wants to meet him, and he wants to personally know him. And here's the story in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. It says, now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night so his religious buddies wouldn't find him. And he said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher and who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. And Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Whoa, whoa. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they can't enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. And Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one could enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water, baptism, and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You're Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and you don't understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still, you people do not accept our testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things and you don't believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up on the cross, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. I feel like we should give God a shout of praise just because that word is so good. It's so good. In other words, Jesus didn't live and die for us so he can condemn us and compare us to his greatness and then assign us a bunch of activities and religiosity so that we can get up to him. He said, no, I sent my Son to live and die for you so that you can be saved through a relationship with him. And this is where religion gets tricky, because the devil's a liar and he takes what's pure and twists it to pervert it. And so religion looks like God without the need for Jesus. Here's a comparison, religion versus relationship. Religion is information, while relationship is intimacy with Jesus. Religion is built on law. Relationship is built on love. Religion feels like guilt. Relationship feels like grace. Religion is activity focused. Do all the right things. Relationship is identity focused. My identity in Christ and who he said I am. Religion is my works. Relationship is his finished work. There's a difference. And if you're at church today, all of us are either moving towards religion or relationship. And when we start to head in the direction of relationship, there's a few things that we discover. Here's the first thing, if you're a note taker. Number one, when we move towards religion, you can be loved before you belong. You can be loved before you belong. It's from the story of Nicodemus in John 3, verse 2. He came to Jesus when? Say it with me. He came to Jesus when? At night. There's a reason he comes at night. He doesn't think he should be with Jesus. He doesn't feel like he belongs there. At night, we all lock the doors to keep the bad people out. At night, the little porch lights come on to keep the people that shouldn't be there out. When I was a teenager, my buddies and I, when we were bored, we'd get in the car and we would drive around different apartment complexes and we would look for the swimming pools that had the gate closed but the lights were still on. And if they had a jacuzzi, even better. We were just boop, looking for jacuzzis and pools that we shouldn't be in. We had the whole route, and we just knew we're gonna go here first, and then we're gonna get kicked out, and then we're gonna go there next. And that was kind of, I think I was a pretty good kid. But this is just, this is more descriptive than prescriptive. Don't do this. This is just what happened. Young people. And we knew we didn't belong there. We knew we shouldn't be there. We knew that we were gonna get rejected and kicked out. Every now and then, we'd get a cool safety or security guard, and he'd see us. What's up? I see you. And he'd give us 15 extra minutes. He'd show us some love and let us hang around. But I wonder how many people walked into Rock Church today and immediately you thought, I don't belong here, I should probably go. They're gonna kick me out anyways. I don't feel worthy to be here. I don't feel like I am as religious as they are. I don't know as much as that person knows. Maybe you walked in feeling out of place, like everyone was looking at you because they know somehow what you did last night or what you've done in your past. But I think what I love from the story, and we need to know, that God isn't bothered that you feel out of place. God isn't bothered that you've been rejected by other people. He's not bothered that you feel unworthy, or that if the people that you normally hang around knew you were here and they laughed, he's not bothered by any of that. None of that will stop Jesus from getting to you. Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So when you come to Jesus, he doesn't meet you with shame or accusations of your past. No, when you come to Jesus, he meets you with love and kindness and grace and forgiveness and healing and love that just overwhelms you. He meets you with his heart, relationship. So the good news about this God-sized hole, this missing piece in all of us, is that Jesus wants to fill it. Jesus wants to fill it, Rock Church, San Marcos, and El Cajon. He wants to fill it. You're loved, and I feel like someone needs to hear that you are loved by Jesus. Jesus really does love you. He really loves you. No matter what you think, or what you've been told, or what you've done, or what's happened in your past, or what some other group told you, Jesus really loves you. He really wants to be with you and connect with you. And if that means that he's gonna move heaven and earth and come meet you at midnight so he can have a relationship with you, he's gonna do it. Why? Because you can be loved even before you feel like you can belong. Here's the second thing that happens when we move towards relationship with Jesus. You can belong before you believe. Now hang out with me, because all the super Christians just went, I don't know about that one, I don't know about that one. And I'm a super Christian. I'm just reading the Bible. And here's what happens in the story of Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 9 through 12. Nicodemus says, how can this be? He asked. You're Israel's teacher? Jesus jams him up. And do you not understand what I'm telling you? These things that I'm explaining to you, very truly I tell you. We speak of what we know and we testify to what we've seen, but you people, do not accept our testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? See, the most religious man in all of Israel, the man that has the Bible memorized front to back, the man that teaches the scriptures, doesn't get it. And he struggles to believe. He doesn't understand. He's the most educated man around. He's the churchiest dude that you can find, but he doesn't get it. All he does know is, I kind of want to be around Jesus. I'm interested. I met a pastor, our executive pastor and I were at this gathering of other pastors and leaders about 2 weeks ago, a bunch of young guys, and one of the guys there told a story about how his dad came to faith. And his dad was a devout Muslim. He owned a restaurant with bad service. And people from a church started visiting this restaurant that his dad, this devout Muslim, owned. And when they noticed that the service was bad and it wasn't clean, instead of complaining and never coming back, instead they just got up and started helping wait tables. They started cleaning the dishes. And so they would leave, and then they made an excuse, we're just gonna come back every day. And every day they would help him with waiting tables, and they would clean up, and they made this a habit. Until one day one of the pastors came with him, and he asked this devout Muslim, who all he knows is these people who are building a relationship, that the service was bad, I don't know if the food was good, but they're just helping out, never asked. But one of them said, hey, we'd like to invite you to join us in the choir at church. I feel like you skipped a couple steps, brother. You want to be in the choir already? Just saying. And this devout Muslim, who doesn't know God, according to our Bible, said yes. And so you got this dude out there singing about a God he doesn't know, just dun-dun-dun, ba-dun-dun, in the choir every week, ba-ba-ba, hey, hey. Knows nothing about Jesus, but he understands the relationship. And he says, I'm interested. I'm showing up. And I think what we learn from Nicodemus in John chapter 3 is that even when our faith journey is cloudy, don't raise your hand, or you feel distant from God, or you feel judged by religious people, Are you falling off or in a season of disagreement or disbelief in God? You're angry at God. Jesus says, don't check out, check in. Don't lean back, lean in, because even in your lack of understanding and doubt, when you draw near to me, I, Jesus, draw near to you. Amen. Don't check out, check in. I think it's important to note, so often we think relationship with Jesus begins with belief, but Nicodemus starts with, I'm interested. I'm interested. And I'm so thankful, Rock Church, that we have a church at all of our locations in Oahu and Chula Vista and people online that are filled with people who believe. And I'm also grateful that we have a church filled with people who aren't there yet but say, I'm interested. I showed up because I was invited. I showed up because I don't know everything. I don't know if I'm there yet, but I'm leaning into a relationship that's starting to build. I'm so thankful that that's the type of church we are. And the minute that we all agree, I think we got to change some things. In Mark chapter 2, verse 15, it's a different story. It says, later Levi invites Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with who? Many tax collectors and other bad reputation, disreputable sinners. And look at the note. It says, there were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. All these messed up people, sinners living in sin, and Jesus wants to go to Olive Garden. Let's all roll out, everybody. You slept with your girlfriend last night? We're going to eat. You're a liar? Let's hang out. I don't know, Jesus. I don't believe everything. Are you interested? I know your lifestyle may be off, but someone needs to hear that even in the midst of your doubts and your anger, your frustration, or your questions, or help me God in my unbelief, you can move toward relationship. And when you do, you can belong even before you believe. It's a relationship. It's beautiful. Here's the third point, number three. And so we can be loved before we belong. We can belong before we believe. And number three, you can believe before you even behave. Here's our verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever what? Believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's not whoever stops smoking gets life. It's not whoever reads the Bible in a year gets life. It's not even whoever has perfect church attendance gets life. But it's first whoever believes in me. But here's the kicker. When you believe in Jesus with all of your heart, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he gives you a new one. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he gives you a brand new heart. And so Jesus doesn't start with behave. He starts with believe. And when you believe in me and we hang out and we build this relationship and we're talking and we're around all the time and you love me and I love you and I put in you, I take that heart of stone, I put a heart of flesh by the power of the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden something's changing in me. I'm starting to look different than I was before. But it didn't start from me working on my behaviors. It starts with me falling in love with Jesus. Anybody work out? Anybody work out? Yeah, how crazy would it be if I said, hey, before you go to the gym, I need you to get in shape. Whoa, where are you going, brother? Where are you going? A little out of shape to be at the gym, don't you think? You go to the gym to get in shape. I go to Jesus to change my life. I don't change my life in hopes that one day I'll find Jesus. It's a relationship. My last verse in Matthew 11, I love it in the Message paraphrase version. It says, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me and get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. He says, walk with me, get away with me, keep company with me, learn from me. Jesus wants to have a relationship with you. It's the missing piece. That's the invitation today. that leads to life change. And so he's saying, hey, let's just start today. It doesn't need to be perfect, but here's what's gonna happen. We're gonna hang out together. And one day is great, it's the best day of the week, but I just wanna hang out with you all the time. And you can wake up in the middle of the night and you can talk to me and you can ask me questions and you can bring me your frustrations. It can be messy. You don't have to know everything. But I would love it if you went all in with me. You can trust me with that. But it only works if you and I put this relationship first above everything else. Here's the best way I can show you this. This represents a lot of life activity and some of the big things in our lives that we try to build. And oftentimes we will fill up our entire lives with all this activity, all the... family stuff and work and sports and social media, just regular day-to-day stuff that happens. And then you go, oh, I gotta go to church. And I gotta read my Bible and I gotta be kind to people and I gotta get my life in order and stop smoking and stop lying and cheating and maybe I'll talk to Jesus a little bit. Jesus, you're not fitting, Jesus. Something's gotta go. And so we just take him out because I gotta do these. And you just pick them up. And you just walk around a little bit. And I got all my life right here. Jesus didn't fit. I just left him over there. I may come back to him and give him a little high five every now and then. But I gotta hang on to this. You know I gotta hang on to this. I gotta go to work and I gotta get up and I gotta get the kids and I got school and I got bills and I got student loans and I got, you know, my politics and my favorite shows and my Netflix and I got my social media. I'm just starting to tap in. I'm blowing up right now. I got 158 followers on Instagram. Stuff's happening. It's happening. And one day, it just hits you. Oh. I just feel like something's missing. Something's off. Something's missing from my life. And maybe you go, I got it. It's Jesus. But I didn't make any room for him. And the story of Nicodemus reminds us to put Jesus first, where he belongs. Right there. Right in the center. Then I can take my other church attendance, my reading, my family, and then I can take everything else and it fits. Fits. Why? Because order determines capacity for your life. He's got to be first. He's got to be first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Jesus and a relationship with him has to be first in your life. Come on, give God praise. Give God praise. He's good. He's beautiful. He's full of grace. He's full of mercy. He's full of love. I want to pray with you. I want to give you an opportunity today to hit reset on your relationship with Jesus. They say, God, I've been walking around, feel like something's missing, but today will be a different day. Today, I will put you first. I will put you at the center of my life. You will anchor everything. I will seek you first, and everything else is going to be added. Everything else is going to be taken care of. Why? Because Jesus, I want a relationship with you. And if I move towards relationship, Even if things have been rocky and rough and my whole life is all messed up, I at least know I'm loved even before I can belong. And I can belong even before I believe, but I can believe even before I behave. And God, you're gonna take care of that. You're gonna work, think. We're gonna talk about that later. But first, I just gotta know you and love you and commit my life to you and be around you all of the time. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for John chapter 3, the story of a man who thought he had everything right until he met you. And he realized there was something missing, a relationship with the King of the universe, the God of all creation, the Savior of the world. And it begins by just saying, Lord, I just want to have a relationship. I just want to be around you. I don't want to meet you on one day and sprinkle everything else in around. I want to put you first as the center and the anchor of my life. And I know today there are people that came to church at all of our locations and people watching online, listening to the sound of my voice, that know today is the day they renew all things with Jesus. They make it right. I'm no longer gonna play this Christian church person and just, I'm no longer gonna be just tied to my old life. I'm gonna fall in love again with Jesus. And maybe for the first time. And so if that's you, I want you to pray this prayer in the privacy and the quiet of your own heart. Just say, dear God, I love you. I admit that I need you. I believe that you live for me and you died for me and you paid for my sin. Today, I want a relationship with you, a new one, better than any other relationship. And I commit to putting you first above all things. Come into my life. And Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, give me a new mind. Work on my heart. Change the things that need to go and bring the things that need to stay. I confess you now as Lord of my life. Thank you for my relationship, Jesus. As your heads are bowed, as your eyes are closed, at all of our locations on the count of three, I'm gonna ask you to raise your hand so I can see you. And I expect a lot of hands to go up. Because this is a day of renewal, a day of commitment, a day of saying, I am not going back to the old life. I have a relationship with Jesus. On the count of three, lift your hand up if you made that decision, you prayed that prayer. 1, 2, 3. Hands up in the air. Awesome. God bless you. 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 Hands all across the room. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We see you. God bless you in the front rows. Awesome. God bless you. You can put them down. Jesus, thank you for all these decisions. Thank you for all the people today that said, you know what? God, I got to get it right. I just want to fall in love with you again. I want to fall in love with you for the first time. Change my life. Give me a new purpose. Give me a new plan. So I speak a blessing on every single person, all of our locations today. Holy Spirit, change them forever. Give them a new mind, new power, new direction. We thank you for your love. And we thank you for your grace. And we thank you for your work on the cross. May we live out our lives, making it not about what we do for you, but what you've already done, the finished work of the cross. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's clap our hands and thank the Lord, Rock Church. Come on.